Ultra-processed food is everywhere, and depending on who you listen to, it's either slowly killing us or just the latest nutritional panic. You've been told if it comes in a package, don't eat it. Or if you can't pronounce it, it's poison. Or if your great-grandmother didn't eat it, neither should you. But here's the problem. Those aren't explanations, they're slogans. And slogans are what we use when fear is easier to sell than understanding. So today we're going to slow this down. We're going to define what ultra-processed food actually means and why people are so desperate to blame it for the obesity epidemic, where the science is strong, where the science gets exaggerated, and how not to let food anxiety replace food literacy. Today, we're making sense of the badness of ultra-processed food. I'm Dr. Terry Simpson, your chief medical explanationist, and this is Fork U. Fork University, where we bust myths, make sense of the madness, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. Let's start with something important. We're in the middle of an obesity epidemic, and it's completely reasonable to ask, what changed? People didn't suddenly lose willpower. Human biology didn't break in 1980. Something in the environment changed, and food is an obvious suspect. So we go looking for blame. Some people want to blame specific ingredients. You've heard this one. Europe doesn't allow these additives, and they don't have obesity. Except that obesity is climbing in Europe too. Others want to blame chemicals, emulsifiers, stabilizers, microplastics, claiming that they damage the gut lining and somehow allow more calories to leak in. That sounds scientific. It feels mechanistic. It gives us a villain we can point to. But here's what's really going on. When a problem is massive and complex, we want a cause that is simple, identifiable, bannable. We want a molecule to blame. Because blaming patterns, time, pressure, stress, convenience, portion size, eating speed, displacement of meals, is harder. Biology is rarely cinematic, and it's usually kind of boring. And that's why the next part matters. What really is ultra-processed food? To understand this discussion, we need definitions. Ultra-processed food comes from a classification system called NOVA. Here's an important point. NOVA, N-O-V-A, is not a diet, and it's not a health score. It classifies foods based on how they are made, not how healthy they are. Under NOVA, it has four groups. Group 1 is whole or minimally processed foods like vegetables, beans, fish, eggs. And group 2 are the culinary ingredients, oils, salt, sugar, flour, spices, herbs. Group 3 are processed foods, things like bread, cheese, yogurt, canned vegetables. And group 4 are the ultra-processed foods. These are industrial formulations, food made from combinations of refined ingredients, additives, stabilizers, emulsifiers, and flavor systems you wouldn't use at home or commonly have on your shelf. And here's the key sentence. Ultra-processed food is defined by its manufacturing process, not by its biological effect. And that's where confusion starts. Because under the system, soda and whole grain bread can end up in the same category. And that should immediately make you cautious. Well, here's the simple question everyone missed. So instead of arguing about Europe or demonizing ingredients, one researcher asked a better question. Not what chemical is doing this, but do people eat more when food is ultra-processed, even when everything else is equal? And that question led to the most important experiment of this entire debate. At the NIH, nutrition researcher Kevin Hall ran a tightly controlled feeding study. Participants lived in a metabolic ward. They were given two diets. One was mostly ultra-processed. One was mostly minimal processed. Calories were freely available. Protein was matched. Fat was matched. Carbohydrate was matched. Salt were matched. Same people, same environment. And here's what happened. On the ultra-processed diet, people ate about 500 calories per day above what they ate on the regular diet, without meaning to. They didn't report being hungrier. They didn't report feeling less full. They didn't report anything. They just ate more. That's it. These same people then, the ones that were on the ultra-processed diet, then went on the minimally processed diet. and the other group did the same, and the same finding was there. No gut leak theories, no banned additives, no conspiracies. Ultra-processed food made it easier to eat more, faster. And sometimes the answer isn't sinister, it's simple. I want you to imagine what those extra hundreds of calories do to you in terms of obesity. Think about it. Let's talk about the book that made this process go viral. That study helped fuel one of the best-selling nutrition books of recent years. And let's face it, nutrition books are not usually popular bestsellers. But this book was called Ultra-Processed People by Chris Van Tulleken. Van Tulleken is a British physician who decided to turn himself into a guinea pig. He ate a diet dominated by ultra-processed food and documented what happened. He gained weight, he got hungrier, and he had changes in his energy and mood. The book resonated because it made something abstract feel personal. It focused on industrial formulations, ingredients designed for shelf life and palatability, foods engineered to be soft, fast, and easy to overconsume. And it struck a nerve, especially with families and clinicians who already sensed something was off. But here's where we need to be careful. A powerful story is not the same as a complete explanation. So ultra-processed food is not one thing. It is not one mechanism. It's not one toxin. And the research struggles with three problems. First, heterogeneity. Soda and yogurt do not belong in the same moral category. Second, confounding. People who eat more ultra-processed food often have less time, more stress, less access to fresh food, less sleep. And ultra-processed food often marks life's pressure, not personal failure. Third, additive panic. Many scary claims come from mouse studies using doses humans don't consume, and human evidence is still limited. Ultra-processed food may be a contributor, but it's rarely the sole cause. There are some foods that break the rules, and here's where food absolutism collapses. Under NOVA, foods like yogurt, tofu, olive oil, canned beans, frozen vegetables can be labeled as ultra-processed. If you eliminate foods solely based on processing, you don't get healthier, you get anxious and undernourished. So ask a better question. Does it contain fiber? Does it contribute to protein or micronutrients? Does it replace a meal or help you make one? Can you stop eating it? Processing didn't ruin our food. Patterns did. Ultra-processed food isn't dangerous because it touched a factory. It's dangerous when it replaces cooking, fiber, structure, and meals. We want a villain. But sometimes the truth is boring. People eat more food when it's engineered to be easy, fast, and endlessly edible. And understanding that is far more powerful than fearing ingredients. This episode was researched and written by me, Dr. Terry Simpson. And while I am a doctor, I am not your doctor. And if you're thinking of any changes to your diet, please see your board-certified physician and registered dietitian, not some homegrown nutritionist or Eastern-trained shaman, or God knows, not a chiropractor. All Things Audio came from my friends at Simpler Media and the pod god himself, Mr. Evo Terra. All right, everybody. Have a good week. And remember, sometimes food is just there for pleasure, and we shouldn't think too much about where it comes from. Have a good week, everybody. Hey, Evo, what's your favorite ultra-processed food? I mean, besides beer.
Wait. Beers, ultra-processed food? Who knew?